Hope you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, as that's where we're going to begin this morning. I titled the lesson, God's Wisdom or Man's Wisdom, Your Behavior Shows. And what I want us to see is that each one of us can examine ourselves, that we can know exactly the kind of wisdom we use in everyday life. The way you live, the way you make decisions, the way you react in situations. All of these things are pointing to your source of wisdom. Whether or not you're using God's wisdom or you're using man's wisdom. And Paul understood that clearly here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, Paul lets the Corinthians know, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." I mean, you can almost hear the fervency. I determined. I don't want to know any other things. I don't need to know what this means and that means. I want to know one thing and one thing alone. I want to know Jesus. I want to know what drove my Savior to a cross to die for me. I want to know who that man is that would be willing to forgive my sins and take my place. And I want to know Him and nothing else. That's the goal. And here's why. If you look back at chapter 1, verse 24 real quick, Paul says, "But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." To those who are the called, not everybody's in it. The called. You know, Paul told the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 2:14, the called are those who responded to the gospel. That's the called. And those that responded to this gospel of Jesus Christ, he says Christ is God's power. Christ is God's wisdom. He's the source. And so, no wonder Paul said, "I don't want to know anything but Jesus and Him crucified." And somewhere we're going to have to get this in our hearts because we live in such a modern age of communication. I mean, everything flies across the internet. Things fly across our phone. Everybody's into this, into that, you know. We lose focus. Jesus is God's wisdom. You need to know Jesus so you know the source of wisdom you're using. Jesus is God's power. We need to learn how to overcome things in our lives. And so Paul was determined right there. I don't want to know anything but Jesus and Him crucified. But when you come back over to chapter 2, look at verse 4 real quick. He said, "In my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Boy, when Paul preached, you know what? He didn't use persuasive words of wisdom. I'm telling you, too many of our people are caught up in persuasiveness of what someone says. Too many people like flowery and pretty things. They get caught up in the cute little things. And I'm not trying to demean anybody. But I'm telling you, we are lacking making progress in our lives because we're using the wrong sources of wisdom. And so when Paul came to Corinth, he said, "My message, my preaching, they weren't in persuasive words of wisdom. Let's be pretty about it. Let's use this and let's use that." But he said, no. They were in demonstration of the Spirit. All self-control, those kind of things. Love and patience. And of the power of God. That's how I live my life. I relied on Jesus Christ. I didn't rely on some persuasive wisdom. I don't have to rely on standing here and talking to you and in the process have some mood music in the background playing to affect your emotions to try to get your attention. They weren't persuasive words of wisdom. I didn't have anything like that. I demonstrated, and you and I, we need to be demonstrating that the power of God, the wisdom of God, the Spirit of God that is a well and live and active, not just words, but in demonstration. Verse 5. So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Paul was a preacher and an apostle. And he was concerned that the church's faith rested on the wisdom of men. I have that same concern. Sometimes I'm a little simplistic. Sometimes I may seem a little bit, you know, hard-nosed in certain areas. I have to be. Because there's so many pulls from so many sources, and you see what people are saying, you see what people write, and boy, sometimes you look at it and you think, where are they coming up with these things? Thinking they're spiritual? No. I want your faith to rest on the power of God and not on the wisdom of man. That's the key to this thing. And so, you know, you look at psychology today. I mean, how many people depend on psychology, how to live life? Well, here's a good little article here about this and about that. And, you know, I read one the other day. Someone sent me and the guy wrote, and you know what he said? You deserve to be happy. That was the point of the message. You deserve, everyone deserves to be happy. And then you listen to people and they talk about, you know, maybe a relationship falling apart. Well, the Lord just wants us to be happy. My question is, why aren't you happy with the Lord? Something is backward. And so your reaction, your behavior, it shows where you're relying on for wisdom, whether or not it's God's wisdom or whether or not it's man's wisdom. You know, that's where your faith lay. Well, knowing that, come over if you would to the book of James and let's take a real quick look at this. James chapter 3. Let's take a little closer look at wisdom and let's see if we can find out some bigger things here. James chapter 3. Look at verse 13. The question is asked, who among you is wise and understanding? What about us this morning? Who among us is wise? We got any wise people here? I think we do. You know, I hope we do, but I sure think we do. Do you have understanding of what the Lord expects? Verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. If you're a wise person, if you're a person of understanding, it ought to be shown in your behavior. Your behavior shows whether or not you have the wisdom of God or the wisdom of man. It shows whether or not you have any understanding about things. And James writes and he says, let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. You know, wisdom brings some gentleness with it, not a blasting of everything. Well, maybe we need to identify wisdom, the term. You know, if I were to ask you, you know, what is wisdom, what would you say? Wisdom is nothing more than simply this. It's the ability to see the true nature of something and know what to do with it. That's wisdom. You know, if you're a person of wisdom, you can see the true nature. When someone says something, when someone does something, You'll see the true nature of the source of what to do with it. You know, how to move this thing forward. Wisdom is seen by your behavior. And you need to know what to do in situations instead of just do what you normally feel. Well, let's keep it going. Verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. What if you have bitter jealousy in your heart? Now, you know, we can't look into the heart. Now, I know what I can listen to what you say and I can tell what fills your heart. You know, Jesus said the mouth speaks what fills the heart. But what if you got bitter jealousy in your heart? You know what? When you think about bitter jealousy is nothing more than you want what someone else has. It may not be a physical possession. It may be that you're a person that you don't get too rattled about things. You know, here you are, you're kind of calm, cool, collected. All of a sudden, another person sees you that you're calm, cool, and collected all the time. They come over to you and, you know, and they, hey, let's go do something together. We go do something together. All of a sudden, a situation comes up. You're cool, calm, collected. And they turn and look at you and say, don't you ever get upset about anything? Oh, and it just really bothers them that you're not upset. That's the way bitter jealousy works. You want what they have and you don't have it and you're upset and you're wondering why they're not upset. Sometimes in the church, everybody gets upset about something. And if you don't join in the bandwagon, they wonder why aren't you upset. That's the way bitter jealousy works. And if you got that kind of stuff in your heart, don't you lie against the truth and being arrogant about it. But there's another side of it. He says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, it's all about you. How many times do we hear people, I have to look out for number one? That's selfish ambition. How many times when we make decisions or we look at things, we think about how this is affecting me. What am I going to get out of this for me? Selfish ambition. Rather than what would the wisdom of love say? You look out for the interests of others, not yours. But he says, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. You know, don't say that you're a lover of the Lord when you know you've got this jealousy, this bitter jealousy going on, or you're selfishly ambitious. Don't say you love the Lord. You're lying against the truth. Those are not things that are exemplified by Jesus Christ. And so he says, don't you be arrogant. It's so lying. That's why some people can't make any progress, because they are not honest in their hearts between them and the Lord. They can't make progress. They're not honest. Well, he continues in verse 15. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. You know what? To have bitter jealousy, to have selfish ambition, to not have your behavior show the things that of the wisdom that you're using, to have the wrong kind of behavior, that's a wisdom, but it's not coming from God. This wisdom that most people that we live around use, and I'm sad to say that sometimes in the church we're using, is not wisdom that comes from God. It's a bitter, jealous wisdom. It's a selfish wisdom. It's a selfish ambition. He said, this kind of wisdom, it doesn't come down from above. He said, it's an earthly wisdom. You know, when you think of earthly, the world's motives, the world's methods, the world's purposes, that's what drives it. Also, we use the methods of the world to go about things. You know, and so, we're promoting earthly things. Why is it so hard for some of us to believe that we're actually headed to heaven, but we live like we're going to stay here on earth? This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural. What's normal? That's what natural wisdom is. Everybody has some source of wisdom, and most of it is natural. It's normal wisdom, you know. How normal is selfish ambition? Let's just ask that. How normal is it? How normal is it to have selfish, you know, or to have bitter jealousy? How normal is that? How normal is it to look out for number one? How normal is it to be on top, to be number one? How normal is it to promote us? Yeah, that's natural. But the third thing he says about it, he says, it's demonic. It's influenced by demons. Well, that ought to get our attention. That ought to get our attention to no end. Why you better not be listening to everybody around you and taking in wisdom from the world. It's demonic. It comes from the source of demons. That's what's behind it. And yet people fall in line and they'll say, well, here's how to deal with this situation, or this has been my experience in my life, how to deal with that situation. You know, where is the wisdom of God in that? Sometimes my experience may have been the wrong kind of experience. Demonic. Wow. You mean we could be buying into demon-type wisdom? Absolutely. That's the source. Well, look at verse 16. Look at where this thing goes. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. There you go. Your behavior shows it. When there is jealousy, when there is selfish ambition, you know what exists with that too? He says disorder. When you look up that term disorder, the word literally means confusion. What's in an uproar? It means instability. It's the idea of a disturbance. I mean, the wisdom that comes from below, when you have selfish ambition, when you have bitterness going on in your life, when you're using the wrong source of information, you know what happens in your life? You have this disorder. All this confusion starts coming about. These disturbances. And then you have to ask, why is it that some people move from disturbance to disturbance to disturbance to disorder to confusion? It just seems to surround them all the time. They need to be asking. My behavior is indicating my source of wisdom. And it's not coming from above. God's not a God of confusion. God's a God of peace. You know what should be in our lives? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. If He's my Lord and He's reigning over me, what should exist in my life? I'm not talking about difficulties sometimes that we face. I'm not talking about those. Once in a while, difficulties will come up. We'll have to go through some things. We have those. But those are just once in a while. I'm talking about those that live in a constant state. Disturbances, uproars, confusion. That's the lifestyle. Some people, that's the normal way they're used to living. And now their behavior shows their source. Well, I don't want to keep hounding it, but I'm showing you, I want you to understand. It's real important to use the right source. That's why Paul said, I don't want to know anyone except Jesus and Him crucified. Because He's the power and the wisdom of God. Well, come on over to verse 17. And let's look at God's wisdom. God's wisdom is completely opposite. But the wisdom from above is first pure. I mean, isn't it interesting that He comes back and the very first statement that the Lord would have us to know, the You want the wisdom of God? The first and foremost thing to tap into it is purity. Purity. That means not mixed with anything else. That's pure. First and foremost, when you approach God, you can't be taking the things of God, the teachings of God, the thoughts of God, and mixing them in with the thoughts of man. You can't do that. Here's one for you. This isn't pure. And I forgot it. We can go on, and if it'll come back, I'll bring it back up. When we're talking about purity, we need to do things that are on the level of the Lord. Not mixing things together. Got it? Got it. One of the things that we say, that you can't love other people unless you love yourself first. That sounds like selfish ambition to me. Does it to you? Learn to love yourself first, and then you can learn to love others. And yet Jesus, what did Jesus say? You learn to deny yourself first. If you're going to be a disciple of mine, there's two opposites, yet how many people have bought into the other? Well, you can't love others till you love yourself. Whoa, wait a second. If you want the wisdom of God, you're going to have to start dealing in purity. And you can't be mixing all of this stuff together. Your behavior shows, things you say, things you do show your wisdom. The wisdom from above is first pure. Then, peaceable. Notice the then is, this is the order in which the wisdom of God is discovered, in which the wisdom of God works. If you will come to God seeking purity, eliminating all the other stuff that you think of you've heard to live by, eliminate it, approach God in purity, then the first thing of the wisdom of God comes in what? Peace. And how many times do we need peace in our lives? How many homes need peace? Peace. You know, when you have peace, that's what you promote. The lack of peace is an agitator. You ever been around someone they just agitate all the time? Oh yeah. That's not the wisdom of God. You come to God in purity, and then you can start with a peaceableness. And now you can start bringing people into a relationship. That's why we teach Jesus. Jesus being the Prince of Peace. If we could get people to look at the cross, to look at Jesus as their Savior, if we can get people just to see Him, how much improvement would be in the lives of people with peace? Wisdom from God brings about peace. Sometimes peace is learning how to keep your mouth shut instead of telling something. You know, holding your tongue. Isn't it hard? Oh, it's hard sometimes. I've been there many times. But if you want peace, sometimes don't say anything. In fact, Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:27, you know, instead of stirring up in the heat of a battle, learn to say things that help, not hurt. You know, when things are difficult between a husband and wife, you don't want to call him an idiot. That's not peaceable. It may be true, but it's not peaceable. Wisdom with God is peaceable. Learn how to draw. Your behavior shows it. When you're in the midst of a discussion and two people are at odds with each other, somebody step up with the wisdom of God and practice peace. See, you can't get to peace unless you're pure. Because if you're not pure, you got selfish ambition, and you and I are at odds with each other because you want it your way. He says, first pure, then peaceable, gentle, you know. There's no room for sarcastic statements. Sarcasm, harshness, rude. No, wisdom of God is gentle. Sometimes when you got to tell somebody, this is the way it is, and there is no way around it, you got to be gentle. But you got to tell it straight, but you do it with gentleness. Not trying to stir. Next word he talks about is reasonable. Now there's a big one right there. You ever dealt with somebody that's unreasonable? Man alive, it's hard to deal with people unreasonable. When a person is reasonable, you know what they're willing to do? It really kind of goes along with peace. It's a willingness to yield. You know, here you got two people. I just throw it, husband and wife. Here you got two people. They want to do two different things. Here's a husband wants this, wife wants this. How are you going to solve it? And all of a sudden, the husband just yammers at the wife, we're going to do it this way. The wife yammers back to the husband, I don't want to do it this way, I want to do it this way. What are you going to do? What source of wisdom are you going to use? Are you going to use selfish ambition to get your way? Is that what you're going to use? Or you're dealing with a co-worker or whatever it may be? What if you'd be reasonable and have a willingness, would you just yield? Both ways may be fine. But somebody in the process has got to yield. That's what reasonableness does. The wisdom of God has the ability to yield and let something move forward. And it saves a lot of heartache in the long run. He talks about reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits. You know, full of mercy and good fruits. You know what's needed sometimes? Need to learn how to give people a break. Some people just want justice. Some people want accountability. Some people just want somebody to be something like that. You know, what if you were full of mercy and good fruits? What if you could give them a break? Take the pressure off. Would that be a better behavior? That's what we need to do. Wisdom of God is full of mercy. Oh, be merciful. It's full of good fruits. You can be compassionate. And he says, unwavering. Boy, there's a wisdom we need. We need to be a people that are unwavering. We need to stop compromising truth and holding hands with everybody. Unwavering. Wisdom of God is set on the path to God. And that's where they stand. And then he says, without hypocrisy. Stop faking it. Stop faking it. Every time I say that, it reminds me years ago I heard a preacher preaching and the lesson title, Fake It Till You Make It. That was the lesson. Fakers. That's hypocrisy. Acting one way, being another way. Wisdom of God is genuine and real, not faking. And that even comes to the times where you and I mess up. Sometimes we make a mistake with each other. Sometimes we say something that, you know, isn't the best between each other, or we don't go through with something. You know what? If you're not a hypocrite, you'll be honest about, hey, I forgive me of that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that like that. And you know, if you'll be merciful, you'll give me a break. Wouldn't you? You give me a break. Come on, I didn't mean to do that. Have you ever been there where you just felt so little and you wished you hadn't done it and I made a terrible mistake and I'm sorry I caused you that heartache and, well, you ought to be. That's not what a Christian would do. And that's how we come. But where's the gentleness? Where's the mercy? Where's the good fruit coming through here? Learn to give people a break and not be hypocritical. We'd go a lot further. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The wisdom of God is a seed of righteousness that's sown. And you sow that same seed to others. So when we step back and we look at all of us individually, look at yourself. What's your source of wisdom? What's your behavior? How do you deal with others? How do you deal in your situations on the job, school? Those all are telling your source of wisdom. And you can't get around it. And may we be a people like Paul. I determined to know nothing except Jesus and Him crucified. I don't need anything but Him. And I want to know Him so well that Jesus isn't a name. He's my Savior, and I want to know the very nature that drove Him to stand before Pilate and not defend Himself. I want to know what drove that man to do that for me. And I want to share in that kind of life. Know Jesus. Know what He wants.